presentation is by Adam Kisiel, the newly elected spokesperson of the MPD, that will give us the report about the MPD project.
Good morning. It's my great pleasure to be presenting the progress of the MPD collaboration for the first time at the Program Advisory Committee as the spokesperson of the collaboration. I would like to briefly start with the recent results of simulations from MPD on several key aspects of the physics program of the MPD. Then I'll comment on the preparation of TDRs for the MPD. And connected to that, the status of the various subsystems of MPD, their construction and production. And at the end, I will comment briefly on the formation of the collaboration, the formal elections, and the formation of other governmental bodies of the collaboration, and our plans, organizational plans for the near future. I will be mostly concentrating on the first stage of the MPD, so I'll be talking about the detectors that are expected to be ready for the first stage, the TPC, the time of flight, the ECAL, FHCAL, and fast forward detector. And this is just a short reminder of what we expect to achieve in the first stage of the MPD operation. That's one example of simulations that we are doing in terms of one of the key physics topics of MPD. This is strangeness production. This is news on the reconstruction of hyperons. This is, of course, an analysis that is nice in testing the performance of the detector because it requires many other lower-lying level techniques like tracking, PID, and so on. This is an example of the reconstruction of both lambdas and anti-lambdas. That's important because for anti-lambdas, we, of course, expect smaller abundances. Also, higher level, higher-lying hyperons, which need a little bit more involved reconstruction. And as you can see, all of those reconstructions seem to be working rather nicely in our simulations. That's how this reconstruction changes as we change the centrality of the collision. Again, looks like the analysis should be very possible. We achieve very reasonable efficiencies of the reconstruction in central and peripheral God-to-God collisions, both for lambdas and for anti-lambdas. With this, we would be able to actually produce a PT spectrum for different centralities. In other words, it looks like this this kind of physics can be entirely doable in MPD, and we see and we are progressing in the working on preparing the analysis code for this analysis. Another critical part of the physics program of the MPD, anisotropic flow. Again, we are using the expertise of our collaborators, which worked on this kind of analysis in many other experiments. These are examples of simulations of anisotropic flow, both directed flow and elliptic flow, versus energy and for different particle species. All of this is a critical part of the physics program. What I would like to stress in this simulation is the fact that it actually uses a combination of several detectors. So, of course, the reconstruction of the particles and the particle identification is done in the central barrel, while the centrality determination is actually using the FHCAL, which is fully simulated in Jeanne. So it's actually a proof that our software is able to combine information from several detectors, including the forward ones, and, for example, use the centrality determination in other detectors, and still be able to reproduce both directed and elliptic flow with reasonable agreement with before and after reconstruction. Another example of a new analysis, that's a group from St. Petersburg that has joined the effort of simulations for the MPD. This is an example of reconstruction of resonances and at MPD, lambda star, rho, k star, and phi. Again, this is something that our detector should be perfectly capable of doing, and these are examples of simulations with rather recent reconstruction code that showed that this kind of physics is possible. In other words, we are progressing on several key issues of physics program of the MPD, and again, with the formation of the collaboration, we hope that this effort will be even more formalized and then organized into physics analysis groups. Now, another important part of the physics program is the fluctuations, especially MPD with this collider geometry is ideally suited to study fluctuations, which again are critical signature of phase transition, possible existence of critical point, so the fundamental questions that the MPD wants to answer. This is an example, again, of the rather new analysis which analyzes the capabilities of MPD to measure fluctuations in this particular instance of number of protons. And the way we validate this analysis is by comparing our simulations with simulations which are published by the STAR experiment, which is currently the state-of-the-art analysis in fluctuations. And we see agreement between simulations done in MPD and simulations done in STAR, which gives us confidence that this analysis is ongoing rather well. One comment, this analysis was intentionally limited in acceptance to be consistent with what STAR can do in terms of acceptance, while in actual analysis, MPD would be able to actually extend the acceptance to larger values, which would potentially be producing a measurement with better accuracy than it's done at STAR. With this, I would like to move to the short discussion of the status of TDRs of MPD. So there are basically three TDRs or three detectors that are, let's say, in the mass production stage, which means that their TDRs are basically almost ready for approval. That's time of flight, fast forward detector, and FHCAL. In terms of TTPC, the work on the TDRs is ongoing, and there is one significant development there, which actually has to be then reflected in the TDR, because the current version of TDR is actually describing the production or the installation with the FEE based on PASA and ULTRA chips. However, there was a recently new development in which MPD is now able to use the SAMPA chip from CERN, and that would require an addendum to the TDR that would include this the usage of this chip for FEE. In terms of ECAL, the last year was actually spent on perfecting the technology to produce the modules of the electromagnetic calorimeter. This is not yet fully reflected in the TDR text. However, there is a promise that the full TDR of ECAL, including the final version of the procedure to produce the modules, will be presented by the middle of this year. I will maybe later comment on the exact on the current state of TDR of ECAL preparations. And there are also ongoing and developed in parallel the TDRs for the DAC and the computing, which are of course made in collaboration with the LEED laboratory. Now, in terms of progress of the detector itself, the construction, first, of course, the civil construction and the integration of the systems. We have seen actually many pictures of the current status of the site, so it looks like the site will be ready this year for installation of various of basically the whole project. There is a strongly ongoing work on the integration of MPD, and in particular of the integration of MPD with the accelerator, and how the several detectors from MPD could be used by the accelerator grouped for the development of the beam. That's example of the integration project that is really critical for the construction of MPD, the platforms for cooling and the electronics. And this is an example of the technical design of the electronics platform, which is basically fully now designed and is beginning production. And we hope that this year significant part of this part, engineering part of the engineering support of MPD will be ready. That's an example of a project that is basically in large part done by collaborators from Poland. The magnet is being now finalized in terms of construction, both the yoke as well as the superconducting coil, and the plan is that around May of 2019 the magnets will be transported to Dubna by boat, and at the end of this year it is planned that the magnet will be constructed and actual team of experts from CERN is ready to come on the short notice to begin the magnetic field measurements of the completed magnet. In terms of the TPC, several parts of the TPC have been produced and they were actually delivered to Dubna. The construction of the barrel of the TPC is ongoing. Similarly, the development of the electronics. As I said, there is a recent development that we are now moving to use of the Sampa chips, so that actually must be fully tested, and then this is how the TPC will be constructed. The gas system of the TPC is basically already currently ready and working. It's being tested with the vacuum, with the pressure vessel. In terms of the time of flight, again, the construction of the modules of the time of flight is ongoing. There is another project which constructs the gas system for the time of flight. Again, this is almost 90% complete, fully designed, and already in production. As well as the mass production of the modules, you can see that this is ongoing. So basically, we're in the stage where the parts of the detector are being produced. The fast forward detector, again, in the stage of mass production, and the modules of the calorimeter are already being tested with cosmic rays. There is a dedicated testing station which is testing, enables us to test each module and its response, and that gives us confidence that this system will be ready in time. Also, the laser system for FFD calibration is being used, and the modules of the FFD are being calibrated. Now, in terms of electromagnetic calorimeter, here the procedure to produce the modules, which, as you can imagine, is not that straightforward with the projective geometry, is basically fully finished. It's developed. It is known how to produce all the modules. There is an agreement that about 25% of the modules will be produced in Russia, and a large part of these modules is already produced in collaboration between Joint Institute and the IHEP in Protfino. The other part, the 75%, is planned to be produced in China. The final procedure to produce the modules is already being transferred to China, and there is, as I understand this year, an ongoing effort to make sure that the experts from GINR and China are in contact, and the procedure to verify the quality of the modules produced both in Russia and in China is also developed. And as I said, this must be now formalized into the TDR, and this TDR should be presented at the middle of this year. The large part of the ECAL construction and in general the preparation of the experiment is the integration of all the modules and the mechanical procedure of installation of modules. There are several ideas of how this can be done. There are, for example, some very ambitious projects to prepare the skeleton for the ECAL and the whole experiment, in fact, using very modern carbon fiber technology, which is developed in collaboration with space companies. In other words, that's one of the major activities right now to plan how to integrate all the modules inside the magnet and how to make sure that all the detectors fit and can be installed in proper order. The forward calorimeter is also being mass produced basically now, and about 80% of the FH cal modules are already produced and tested with cosmic muons, and the electronics, the readout electronics for this detector is in production. So again, this detector is basically on the way to be installed in time. Another example of new developments, this is a proposal for a new detector that has been developed in response to the proposition from GNR to produce a detector which will basically serve as a FITO for cosmic rays, but will also be able to provide physics of cosmic rays. This detector will be first discussed for the first time at the Detector Advisory Committee later this week. And that's an example of the detector which is actually fully designed by collaborators from Poland, in this case from Poland. And the detector has several stages, so the lowest, let's say, possibility, it will be used just to test the modules of the MPD detector before installation. If the full project is approved, then we will have a detector outside of the yoke of the magnet to detect muons from cosmic showers. Now, I move shortly to the description of the collaboration itself and what are the plans of the collaboration. So, as already was mentioned two times today, the collaboration, MPD collaboration, has been formed. It currently has more than 400 members. It has 32 institutions, and these institutions are from 10 countries, which you can see here. These are the institutions that included the ones that joined during the second collaboration meeting at the end of last year. And as you can see, the collaboration is already rather large, but we expect that it will grow even more. We expect that every collaboration meeting there will be a few institutions that will present an application to join the collaboration. That of course will be already done according to the bylaws of collaboration, which tell us how new institutions can be approved or included in the collaboration. What is very, what I'd like to stress is that every collaboration institution has already provided a description of their capabilities and what they want to actually do in the collaboration. And based on this information, we are working on preparing the MOUs of each institution. As was already said, the second collaboration meeting was important because several elections have been held. I was elected as a spokesperson. The IB board chair was Fu Jiangwang. The Vyacheslav Govatyuk was endorsed as the project manager. And since then, we had several formal procedures being conducted in the collaboration. The endorsement of deputy spokesperson, Viktor Yabov from St. Petersburg, and Zibo Tang from USDC in China. We are now, as I said, preparing the memorandum of understanding and discussing how this memorandum, whether it should or in how, what sense should be grouped by country, and how, what's the involvement of the state funding agencies in this preparation. The elections for the Executive Council is ongoing, and the formation of the Detector Council should also happen very soon. Now, with the help of the Executive Council, we will then start to formalize the structures, the organizational structures, collaborations, physics working groups, software and computing infrastructure, discussion of the computing paradigm, formation of the tax committee, and of course many, many, many more. We will just start a regular work of international collaboration. And with this, I would like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Adam, for this report. I would like to make a few comments or questions. I think it's very nice to see the different groups involved in simulations of all kind of physics observables. You mentioned resonances, you mentioned strangeness and some other. How about dileptons? Dilepton is one of the unique observables where MPD can have really a niche of its own, and I wonder whether there are some focus effort being formed in order to address and prepare for those measurements,
I think
which are very challenging.
I have not seen the very recent simulations of dileptons, but I think that that's what I mean by this. We are now really have to form the physics working groups. They have to cover all the critical parts of the physics problem of MPD. We have to obtain commitment from members of the collaboration for specific physics topics, and that's how we will, in a bit more structural way, make sure that every single key element of the physics program is being pursued.
Okay. You also mentioned that some 4,000 Sampa chips have been ordered or purchased from CERN. Yeah. Does it mean that the delivery of those chips is now secured for the TPC and we can forget the alternatives, or there's still a problem with the delivery?
That's what I understand, but I guess Soago Vatu can confirm that they are confirmed, right? The delivery is confirmed.
It's secure. Yes. Okay, great. My last question is concerning the ECAL. Do you have now a solid plan for the construction of the ECAL that will come on time for day one?
So, the situation is the following, as far as I understand. The plan is there. The plan is that 25% is produced in Russia, 75% is produced in China. That, however, relies on the agreement between the ministries of Russian Federation and China, which is, as far as I understand, in principle agreed upon. However, there is still some decision that must be done at the level of the Chinese ministry, on which we are still waiting. Now, if this decision, the moment this decision is taken, the mass production can basically start almost immediately. And then we should be able to produce it on time.
So this is a bottleneck in the schedule.
That's, as far as I understand, yeah, is the bottleneck at the moment, which is a bit out of our control.
Yes.
Thank you for a very informative presentation. My question relates to accelerator collider path. On slide around 7, where it was lambda peak, you showed invariant mass, and on the second half was root square of S. Question of two parts. First, what would be optimal energy for lambda peak observation, and what else it was? Yeah. No, I think not this, but anyway. What would be optimal energy, and what is sufficient luminosity you need? Because you may know that collider NICA has relatively lower luminosity at lower energy.
So I think in terms of the lambda production, it scales with energy. So basically, we would need the maximum energy. This is not, as you can see, this is not a measurement that is very statistics limited, I would say. So I think this would be one of the first measurements that are possible to be done. So any statistics we get will enable us to see the lambda peak. Actually, I would even say the lambda peak is almost a benchmark measurement that, for example, tells us whether our PAD works, our tracking works, our momentum resolution works. So in this particular measurement, I would say anything that we get from the accelerator is already good, and we can actually produce non-trivial physics with even relatively not large luminosity. This is not the measurement that requires large luminosities.
Thank you. That means that lambda peak is first candidate for very beginning of
I would say
collider
so, yes.
Commissioning. Yes. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much, Adam. And now we move to the presentation by the spokesperson of the BMATEN project, Mikhail Kapishin.
Okay, I will present you the progress in the realization of the project on studies of baryonic matter at nucleotron. This baryonic matter, this is the first experiment at fixed target at the complex of nucleotron NICA, aimed for study heavy ion collisions with energy up to 4.5 GeV per nucleon and nucleus up to gold, and also for proton target interactions. So I will present some performance slides of the detector in recent runs with argon and krypton beams, and also from the short-range correlation measurement performed in March 2018. So first of all, I will describe the performance of the central tracker, which consists of three planes of forward silicon strip detectors with maximum size of 25 to 25 centimeters, and then six planes of larger acceptance, larger size of GEM detectors. So GEM detectors, you see here inside the magnet, installed above the beam. The beam hole is here, so we equipped only the upper part of the acceptance because of limited amount of detectors. And here we see an example of reconstructed events in the central tracker. These are GEMs, silicon detectors and tracks. So for heavy ion program, we have to produce seven additional GEM detectors, similar size, to equip also low part of the acceptance. One detector is already produced at CERN, and six others should be produced during this year. This production stage in the GEM detectors. Then about the performance in the run, see here profiles of the tracks in silicon detectors, two stations here. Then in GEM detector, the first GEM detector, the fifth GEM detector, and residuals of tracks, residuals of silicon heats relative to the combined tracks. We've got 86 microns, which is dominated mainly by the resolution of the tracks, GEM tracks. The residuals for the GEM detectors is 300 microns. Then another system, which was fully equipped detectors, is time of light, two walls of MRPC detectors situated at 4 meters, TOF 400, and at 7 meters, it's TOF 700. Altogether, they cover the whole acceptance of central tracks. So here, the schematic view of our central tracker and time of light TOF 400. In front of it, we install a new chamber, cathode strip chamber, which will serve as an outer tracker, also for heavy ion program. So these are detectors, TOF wall, and cathode strip chamber. So first of all, we look to the link between central tracks and outer tracker. So it means between GEM tracks and cathode strip chamber. You see residuals about 4 millimeters without field, and with some smearing up to 8 millimeters if field is on. Then with a low background correlation between combined track reconstructed in GEM detector and CSC and time of light signal. So based on this information, we have momentum, we have time of light data from time of light system, we identify particles. So here is a distribution of momentum of particles versus speed, beta. You see clearly a band of protons, pions, rather a band of charge counts, K+, then helium-3, deuteron and helium-4, and triton. And if you look to the mass plot as a mass distribution versus momentum, you see cloud of protons, kaons, charged pions. So if you attribute the width this band to the time resolution, which is right for the high momentum, we got integrated for all the channels of TOF 400, 100 picosecond resolution. It includes all the smearing jitters on systematics between the channels. So based on this information, we can also plot a vertical projection and see peak of charge kaons. And now analysis is going on to evaluate the ratio of kaons, charge kaons to pions in different momentum ranges. Another system, TOF 700, also was calibrated. We see bands of protons, deuteron, helium, pions, and also clouds of proton, pions, and helium-4 and deuterons here on the mass distribution versus momentum. The time resolution which corresponds to the proton band is 120 picosecond. So now we have the instrument to identify particles like pions, protons, kaons, and heavier fragments. We can use it in the physics analysis. I will now switch to measurements of the short-range correlations. The program of the experiment was extended to measure short-range correlations with inverse kinematics. In the first run, which was performed in March 2018, carbon beam collided to the liquid hydrogen target, and the aim was to reconstruct all the products of the reaction, mainly to see, to study the isospin decomposition of the SRC pairs. For that, we need to study, identify A-2 spectator system, which escape the interaction in the forward direction, can be measured by our detectors. Two protons, scattered protons, one from the beam, another from the correlated pair, are the trigger signal for this process. So the team who analyzed data shown here, the aim is to, for the next first publication is for the quasi-elastic processes of production of two protons on carbon, and for studies of decomposition of spectator A-2 system in the SRC process. So here is, you see the setup. It's a front and front part of the BMTN target, then two arms of detectors, GEMS, time of flight, and forward detectors is proportional chambers and silicon, and then also trigger detectors. So what was achieved up to now by the team? First of all, it was assumed that the beam is carbon, but in reality we see a fraction of nitrogen and oxygen in the beam. Then also by requirement of the momentum in two arms, of in protons in two arms, possible to reduce the background from the beam, and you see decomposition of nucleus fragments like bor, beryllium, and lighter fragments. And if you add information from the scintillator counters and angle distribution in drift chambers, which is proportional to A minus divided to Z, we can distinguish between two isotopes of carbon, bor, lithium, helium, triton, and so on. And in reality, we also need reliable information from the two arms of the detectors, which reconstruct scattered protons. And if you reconstruct vertex position in from tracks in two arms, we should see correlated Z position of the vertex. It's visible here. But we still, if you look to the angles of the scattered protons, we should expect this type of anti-correlated behavior. But in reality, there's still a lot of background. Which so the work is going on to separate process of short-range correlation measurement from the background. So the plan is now, as I said, two publications on quasi-elastic processes and on the identification of the studies of the residual A-minus 2 system. So still a lot of work should be done, but we're optimistic to get this publication already in the half a year. Then I go to the upgrade the detectors for heavy ions. This is a schematic view of the BMA-10 detectors without beamline. I will cover some, for example, these are full setup of GEMS. In front of GEMS, large aperture silicon tracking system from CBM, then three planes of forward silicon detectors, auto tracker based on cathode strip chambers, time of flight system already in full configuration, and a new ZDC colorimeter. First of all, auto tracker, cathode strip chamber. One chamber was produced and already tested in the run, showed a reliable performance. And we plan to produce three additional chambers to cover it, to put it in front and behind TOF 400 system. A bigger size chamber is now, design is done, developed to be installed in front and behind time of flight system TOF 700. This is the hole for the beam. It's 2.2 meters to 1.5 meter height. Then new 0-degree colorimeter for heavy ion collisions will consist of models produced for MPD type models and also for CBM. And it will have a hole for the beam. And to resolve the ambiguity in the measurement of the impact parameter, with, if we have a hole, part of the energy escapes, then D2DX detector will be installed here to resolve these two solutions in the centrality measurement. The reaction plane resolution is moderate. I would say for middle impact parameters, it's about 40 degrees. And the team already measured energy resolution of the models in the argon beam, and models will be delivered to Dubna in spring of this year. So simulation is going on also for the configuration of large aperture silicon tracking system from the CBM design. So it's four station, as I said, to be installed in front of GEMS, seven GEMS stations. And this is the sizes and the schematic view of the stations with increasing number of channels and the size. In total, around 300 models and 600,000 channels planned for BMN. So simulation was done for three distances between the stations, 10, 15, and 20 centimeters. Track reconstruction efficiency is similar. Acceptance, of course, will be reduced for larger distances, but momentum resolution is better for 20 centimeters between between the stations. It's expected to be about 2%. Here's the occupancy at the station. Then another simulation is going on performance of the beam, which is very important for us. So we have from the recent run the level of hollow beyond 2 ± 2 centimeter in krypton beam, and we to reproduce this hollow simulated beam with the Gaussian of sigma 1 centimeter and the expected divergence of 1.5 millirad. And another simulation is for the improved beam. Beam spread, which we think is optimal for our purpose. Here is the size of the beam for carbon interaction, carbon nuclear interaction. You see that beam profile black curve is the present with the present halo, and green is for optimal, and at 4 meters it's rather white, and will of course dissipate in inside the detectors and produce a background in our system, which is crucial for us. Here is two simulations, one for the present, I would say, hollow level in the beam, and what we expect will be optimal. You see a lot of delta electrons in the CST, STS stations, which will dominate the background in GEMS and in silicon detectors, and also will considerably reduce the efficiency of the GEM, and also will be source for radiation damage in silicons. So I think this is important to have a good quality beam in our setup for the measurements. So here's again this statement, I already showed it, that we to perform our heavy ion physics program, we need to upgrade the transport beam line between the nucleotron and BMTN to replace all the foils and air elements with the vacuum, to put retractable profilometers at the beam, and also to have an instrument to limit the size of the beam in our setup. We also need a vacuum beam pipe inside the BMTN setup. And I must stress that we cannot start the heavy ion physics program until the transport channel upgrade is done. So this is a situation plan. We perform a series of measurements with argon krypton and carbon beam for short-range correlations with a limited configuration of detectors, six GEM half planes and three small silicon. In 2020, we plan to have detectors with seven GEM full planes, three extended silicon planes, similar type as we use now, and CBM type of the detectors will be only available in 2022 or later. But I would say it's optimistic scenario. It's based only on our plans. If there's a delay with the transport channel upgrade, then the whole schedule will be delayed accordingly. So the present status, reconstruction analysis of interaction of argon and krypton beam is going on, and also analysis of short-range correlation data, and simulation of the upgraded configuration for heavy ion program is also going on. Our plans, major plans for runs in 2020-22 is collaborate with CBM to produce, install large aperture silicon tracking systems, extend GEM central tracker and cathode slip chambers to full setup, install a new type of hadron ZDC colorimeter for heavy ions, and implement vacuum beam pipe inside the BMTN setup. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Mikhail. So let's start the discussion. Hans.
Yeah, I am very pleased that after so many years of our hammering for vacuum system, I think the BMTN collaboration has fully grasped the importance. But I have another point. Your time of flight resolution of worse than 100 picoseconds. I should remind that Vodopianov's group in my team, W98, and the NA49 team had already in 1994-5-6 a resolution of 60 to 80 picoseconds. So why can that not be improved?
So as I said, this is an integrated resolution for many channels. So the way is to calibrate every channel, check relative, improve the relative delay times and jitters of every channel. Then we can squeeze it to less than 100 picoseconds. Presently, for individual channels, it's 60 picoseconds.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have several comments and questions for you, Mikhail. First of all, you show performance detector for during the short-range correlation measurements and during the beams with krypton and argon. But how about physics analysis? Where are you there? I mean, we urge all the time that physics analysis should get priority, not just showing detector performance. So that's one question.
I would say on the list, the first it could be the ratios of counts, charge counts to pions in different ranges of momentum and for different targets. And for two types of beams, argon and krypton. which we see these signals, and this is the first what we can measure. And we also see fragments of light nucleus like deuteron, helium-3, triton. We plan to make ratios of the yields.
Michael, I see all that, but for example, where is the invariant mass spectrum of the pions? That's what I mean. I mean, I see that you have beautiful resolution there. Okay, where is the momentum spectrum corrected for efficiency, an invariant mass spectrum, a PT spectrum?
Invariant mass spectrum is one of the results, yes.
Where is a DNDY? I mean, that's what I mean. Where is the physics analysis going?
But, ratio of cones to pines is already a physics result. We can compare with models and... it's already physics. If you select properly momentum range, centrality range, and different targets. Another result related to strange particle production. It's lambda and so on. This is another analysis which is going on. But here we see some delay because tracker should be re-optimized for the heavy ion beams. Tracking algorithm which we used for carbon interaction, it was not optimal, I would say. So there's some delay with that. And another analysis is a short-range correlation. We plan two publications. This was, which is on the list for next half a year, I would say.
Okay. I see that now your next run is scheduled or is foreseen for 2020. So for that you need to have in place the transport line and the beam pipe through the experiment. Is there a plan to achieve that before the 2020 run?
What is concerning the transport channel, it's beyond our control. It's beyond the control of the experiment. It's an independent team who is doing that. Concerning the beam line inside the experiment, we are now have a conception of the beam line, beam pipe inside the experiment and the target area, and we are now communicating with our collaborators to find a contractor for this beam pipe. So this on this stage we are now. We communicate with Czech people, with Polish people, collaborators.
Yeah, I think that you should work together with the other people that are in charge of the transport line and make sure that you coordinate the things. I mean, it will not make sense that you come on 2020, there is a gold beam, and you cannot use it because the beam transport is not there or the vacuum pipe is not there. Those are the things that you have to think about them well ahead of time and make a planning.
It's very little depends on me.
Sorry?
It's only very little depends on me. It's I would say it's out of scope of the experiment itself. So it's accelerator divisions who are responsible for the transport channel.
Yeah, the experiment are responsible, but you have somehow to call.
You can make requirements, specify requirements for the beam.
It would be a pity if there is a beam there, because there was no coordination between the various teams, this cannot be made use of. So those are things that should not happen. You should not find them in 1 year from now. You should attack them right now. Yes, what? Yes, Mishko.
Answer to your question. Plan to have vacuumed channel in 2020.
Okay.
Not this year, but next year. It is under design now and planned.
I'm happy to hear that. You should just make sure that this thing happens before the beam arrives. Any other comments?
The question... Sorry.
Yes.
Can I talk? Okay. The question not about only vacuum system of the channel, but on the other hand about the power supply system of the magnetic system. We start the works very big front of works about the upgrading, full upgrading of the power supply and system and the power subsystem for these channels, and maybe these works will shift a little bit the our plans for 2020 years, maybe to the middle or to the end of 20 years, 2020.
Yeah, I want just to repeat the general comment. You should work together and make sure that the equipment is ready to use when the beam comes. If you come and you say the beam is there, but I didn't manage because power supply is missing, that will be unacceptable. I mean, those are the things that you have to plan ahead of time. Not after, but ahead of time. Think about everything and make a plan. Okay. So, thank you very much, Michael. And we move now to the presentation of Rumen Tsenov about the conceptual design of the spin physics detector.
Раз, два, три. Good afternoon already, everybody. So I'm here to present a proposal to open a new project within the team, within the topic of NICA, how could I go back? Okay, so there are already three projects there. The first one is to build accelerator, the second one to build the MPD detector, third one BM-ETEN, and this would be the four project within this topic. So, and the project is for creation of conceptual and technical design of the spin physics detector, not for building the detector itself, but just for conceptual and technical design. So, this detector will be using the very good potential, at least potential now, of the NICA collider that is planned to supply polarized beams of protons and deuterons, maybe light ions, with the center of mass energy of the order of 27 GeV and luminosity up to 10^32 seconds. And you see here the two main topics of the NICA project. So the second topic is about the study of nuclear spin structure using polarized beams. So you've seen this picture many times. In blue is what exists now. In red, what has to be constructed, and three detectors. So BM-ETEN, MPD, and the third one, SPD, will be situated in the south cross section of the beams of the collider. So the beam characteristics. This is calculation, and what is seen in this calculation is that if we have about 10 to 12 particles per bunch, each of 22 bunches, then we could reach luminosity up to 10 to 32, and the bunch crossing will be each 80 nanoseconds, so the crossing rate is of about 12 megahertz, and the collision rate, if you multiply by cross-section, will be of the order of 3-4 megahertz. So this is the detector should be quite fast in collecting data. So, in fact, the polarized protons and deuterons in colliding mode does not exist in this energy range in the world up to now. So, the project, the SPD project, started as early as in 2014. A letter of intent was presented at this PAC and was endorsed by this PAC. And then, since then, the idea and basic concepts were presented at several conferences. And in fact, beginning of last year or the end of the previous year, the project entered a new phase when we started real work on towards creating a conceptual design report. What are the main physics tasks? So the first physics task is the investigation of the nucleon spin structure, and with the several probes, first of all the Drell-Yan pair production. So this gives us a handle or information about the spin structure of, or dependent on distributions of quarks in the nucleon. Direct photons, this kind of Compton scattering, gives us information about the gluon structure of the proton, the same as Drell-Yan, but in resonance state is production of J-Psi and the heavier quarkonia. Also, other spin-dependent effects could be investigated in different reactions. So, about the spin structure of the nucleon, so we know about that spin puzzle already with us around 40 years. The point is that we do not know now how the spin one half is produced, is comes out from the spins of quarks and gluons and their motion inside the nucleon. For that, we have to study so-called spin-dependent particle distribution functions. In the first order of quantum chromodynamics, in the leading order, there are 8 independent such particle distribution functions, and we could, in one experiment, study all of them at once. So these functions have specific names, and they represent different combinations of polarized and non-polarized particles. So I have listed, just for your information, 5 of them. They are 8 altogether. So a bit more specific, Drell-Yan pairs. This is the mass spectrum from Na51. This is COMPASS. So we plan to study this continuum here in higher masses than the J-Psi. Everybody studies that. And what we want to measure, those will be so-called asymmetries. And those asymmetries, this is simulation here, are of the order of few to few tenths of percent. So you see that the detector should be able to measure these azimuthal asymmetries with quite good precision. So this is the COMPASS data available now with the proton beam, and you see part of these asymmetries, the errors there, and this is what we could do in comparison with the COMPASS, wider kinematical range, and 3 times more statistics can be collected. And also the precision that could be reached, you see, compared, so red points compared to blue ones, that those are COMPASS data. So we would be in 1 year much better in that precision. Also, if this is with polarization about 60%, if we achieve one, so the precision could be 3 times better. So, prompt photons, as I said, Compton scattering, that gives us access to the distribution of the gluon polarization, and we are in here. This is the cross section. There are things not understood yet from theoretical point of view with these prompt photons. Those are expected asymmetries, a bit bigger here, and the cross section is one order of magnitude bigger, so the situation is a bit more favorable than for Drell-Young pairs from this point of view. What is the situation now in the world? You see our expected precision, and you see what we have in this energy range now. So the situation is very poor from experimental point of view now in the world, and this is where we have to, which level of background rejection we should reach, because those photons are all background from pi zero production, so we have to suppress that background several orders of magnitude. For that, we need good calorimeter. So, germanium production, several models exist. We are here in this region. Those models have do not explain the data, and what is for us most interesting is polarized beams and production and asymmetries in production of germanium. Other exotics could be studied at the second stage, I would say, of the experiment, when we have understood our detector quite well. So production, exclusive reactions with vector meson productions or Drell-Young productions, but cross-sections, Pica Barnes, are very challenging. Then different things that exist in the world about asymmetries in polarized scattering and not understood those asymmetries, so we could remeasure that and give our contribution to these puzzles and maybe resolve some of them. Now, just a presentation, so representation, those are measurable things that we could study, and those are tasks that we could contribute studying these processes and these probes and these reactions. So what we will have in our detector, those are distributions of particles from minimum biased events. So you see we have momenta up to 12 GeV and angles from minus pi to pi. So we have to cover 4 pi to build a 4 pi detector with the good momentum, momentum reconstruction and particle ID. So besides that, we need also local polarimetry, so to control and measure the polarization. There are problems here too, because in this energy range, there are not, so studies have not been done yet about which reactions to use as a best measurables of the polarization. There are several possibilities here. So requirements, as I said, close to 4 pi geometrical acceptance, high precision and fast vertex detector, central tracker, good ID capabilities, efficient muon system for detecting Drell-Young pairs, muon pairs, electromagnetic calorimeter with good coverage and resolution, low material budget, and trigger and the DAQ system that is able to cope with this luminosity, modularity, and easy access to the detector elements that would make possible further reconfiguration and upgrade of the facility. So, ideas how this might look like. So, this is our idea for the moment. Central, this is the central tracker, so silicon tracker. Then we have here central tracker, PID system, calorimeter, and muon range system. Some dimensions here, you see 7 by 9 meters, about 1,500 tons. So the magnetic system, we considered several different magnetic systems and came to with an idea of a hybrid magnetic system when we have toroidal magnetic field in the middle, in the central part, and two end caps with the solenoidal Helmholtz coils. And this system leaves the central region free of magnetic field, which is important for that we do not create additional spin flip of our when the particles are transversely polarized. So for our measurements, this is essential, and still gives enough precision to measure the momenta in the end caps with this solenoidal field. Also, we have an idea how to make these coils, so superconducting coils with the superconducting cable at helium temperature. So, in fact, the idea is to have reconfigurable design. So you see the central part could be used without or with or without the central tracker and the magnetic field. Then this will give us flexibility and enlarge the physics task we could cover. A few ideas about the detector. So the beam-beam interaction counters and T0 counters, this scintillator, this is microchannel plates, for example. The vertex detector, so or so-called inner tracker, silicons, strip silicons, and MAPS. So I would say these eight layers, this is the maximal configuration. Could be less, it should be optimized. The idea is that we could see also open charm production here in the at the vertex, which is an ambitious task with such a detector. The second and very important task of this detector is reconstruction of the interaction point with high enough precision so we could eliminate the pions that decay afterwards to muons and give us background to our Drell-Yan sample. And central tracker straw tubes, fast enough detector, and still with good time, with good spatial resolution and low material budget. So we have in our lab there is experience with producing of such kind of tubes. So and this is one of the possible solutions. The electromagnetic calorimeter for the moment Schaschlik type, which is acceptable and good enough for this energy range. Also there is experience in MPD with such calorimeters, so we will profit from what they have learned already and not repeat their mistakes, probably. And the range system, there's metal, okay, iron and cathode strip chambers. So the same system is being built now for Panda experiment, will be used there. So the same group will build it for us. The group is from the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems here. So here we do not expect surprises, but this is the most heavy element of our design. So you see already an example of particle tracks in the prototype of this simple if this system last year at CERN illuminated the particle beam. So DAQ, this is a very challenging task. The point is here: could we design a DAQ without trigger 3-4 megahertz event rates? And this is questionable now, but I think in a few years from now the electronics will be faster than now, and this could be reached. Then software is next clone of FAIR root. So we have MPD root, BMN root. Now we have SPD root, and few systems have not been even tooled out, and this is normal, I think, for at this stage of development of the idea. So essential part of our project is creation of beam test facility where we want to test prototypes before going to TDR. So this is at the focal, this focal point. We have extracted beam from the nucleotron, and then we have secondary particles, these all species going to the low energy up to 1 GeV channel, the existing now Marussia setup, and we are going to build high energy channel up to 10, 7, 8 GeV at this empty space for the moment here. And requested resources, as you see, this is famous form 29. So up for 3 years, 2.5 mega US dollars. First year, half of this amount will be used for creating the test beam facility, because we will need it for the second in the second and third year to test our prototypes and prepare the TDR. So I would say this is not very, it's a modest request. Now, participation, you see the number of authors and the full-time equivalent declared. So the main contributor is our lab of high energy physics, laboratory of nuclear problems, half of that, and few people from other laboratories of our institute. And up to now, 18 institutes out of GINER so have expressed willingness to participate in this project, and with some of them we have bilateral agreement, with some of them we have protocols for joint research, some of them have sent expression of interests. So this will be the backbone and the skeleton of our collaboration, and it will grow in the future, I would say. So roadmap, so the project timeline. So now I expect that this PAC will take positive decision to open this project. Then during the 2019 we will set up the collaboration and create a conceptual design report next January at this PAC. That report should be presented and criticized, adopted, rejected. It is up to you. Then the next 2 years, if that conceptual design report is accepted, we will go for technical design report, including prototyping. And with that, we will finish this project. And the new project should be opened and set up for construction of the detector, and we hope for first measurements to have 2025. So this is, and let me just state again that SPD will provide a unique opportunity that is not available at other facilities to study all the particle, spin-dependent particle distribution functions of the nucleon at high statistical level and with good uncertainty. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Rumen. So this proposal was reviewed by Hans, so I will give the floor to Hans first.
Okay, thank you very much. So we had interaction on some of the points I was raising. So in principle, I can start saying I fully support this proposal. Now I have my points. I think we should make sure that this proposal is following the guidelines of CERN proposals. It's a big one. At the end, you will spend probably $60 to $100 million, I guess. And so you should really not go on the wrong track. And that means you should have a conceptual design which is really studied well. You have some options in, but then they should be approved when the committee is all happy about. But your starting point, which you presented just now here, raises already big questions to me. You talk about a modular system. Modular system has always the danger, like we had in MPD. We had a full system of MPD proposed, and then we had a start version. And we are not talking at the moment with the end caps. So you cannot have that in spin physics. You want to have a full coverage of as much of 4 pi as possible. And if you would start here with a start version, say the centerpiece, then you have a competitor who could do it on the other side, namely MPD. Okay, you can do in MPD also polarization studies. Okay, so you should have a goal to build the best SPD possible and be ready with the 4 pi from the beginning. And then what you talk modular should not be able to be cut away. Having said that, I focus onto the magnet you choose. You had various magnet designs over the years, and this one is totally puzzling to me. You have the toroid. I understand that if you look for dileptons and so on, you are happy to have better triggers on that part, but you are losing in the toroid immediately a large fraction due to the coils. And then you want to see the tracking done at forward region where the momenta are higher, the particles going through a parallel field, the solenoid field. The integral BDL, how do you want to have an integral BDL to get a good momentum resolution when at 5 degrees, 6 degrees particles are going? I think this is to be absurd even, okay? So I raised this viewpoint to you and you said, no, we are open. We just presented that. We have this and that back. So I hope that you come quickly to a magnetic field configuration which gives you as much coverage to the particles because you are looking trail young. You want to catch the partners. You don't want to lose them. And then that you have also good momentum resolution when you go forward. Okay, so that's for me a thing you should really point into that. I think the goal of physics is clear, absolutely clear. But you have to watch also that you are not falling into the trap that you use detectors which are since decades built here. Okay, there is development going on. You have to look for how far you can go with silicon. Now, other people are thinking even more silicon. You want to have a fast readout. So be open to that and not responsible for having workshops which, after MPD is produced, need to produce other straw detectors, etc. This is a danger, and you should have the freedom to build the best design, the best concept, and I can only encourage you to think most modern designs. It would help because this is a unique possibility you have, as you said, and you should have everything. So you have my blessing, but I encourage you to have a strong collaboration, have an international collaboration right from the beginning, include them into the discussion of physics and the technology chosen, and then you will have certainly a good success. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You want to say something, Roman?
Maybe after I hear all the comments.
Well, I don't know whether... Yes, Antonio.
Okay, I share most of what... I would say all what Hans said. And I would like to add another point. You should, for the future, you should always refer as a test bench to MPD. Because it is... this is a dedicated spin experiment, and you should be by far better than other parasitic studies done by the other. Your competitors are here. So either you prove clearly that SPD is a factor, whatever, better I wonder whether this is a good investment for the lab. Okay. Then to give examples, you mentioned Dried Lian. Can you go on slide 12 and 13, please? You showed you refer to COMPASS, and then you say you have a better, a higher factor 3 higher statistics. This looks to me very, very well. It's not a big deal, and due to that, I don't don't understand what you show in slide 13, where 13 or 14. Can you go back, please? Where you see. Yeah, okay. Before. Can you go before? Yeah, one more? Yes, look at this. So here, I don't know what COMPASS can say about this. You can fit everything there, okay? But then you say I get a factor 3 better statistics. You can go forward. Yeah, you see it's less than 3. And then in the next slide, you show very small error bars, which don't fit to me with just a square root of 3.
This is COMPASS data with systematics, and we count on much less systematics than the COMPASS, because
this is only statistical for you.
So this is statistical for us, and this is okay.
So how can it be? I don't understand. I don't see the square root of 3. But this is a detail. Okay, you will have to convince Hans about this. But in my opinion, the big issue, in addition to the detector consideration that Hans made, is that before we would recommend JNR to approve an experiment dedicated only if this is a factor better than general purpose experiments.
Okay, maybe I need to answer. So first of all, thank you for the very detailed consideration of this project, to our referees, to Hans, to other referees, Arbuzov and Shulkov, that did that in the past for presenting this project to the scientific council, technical and scientific council of our laboratory. And I would say that I agree with most of your criticism. And what we are presenting now is a collection of ideas, okay, supported with some simulations, but the first year of the project is just for that, to find the best configuration and the best strategy for measurements in and go for technical design report with already solid conception in hands. And all your criticism will be taken and will be considered. Let me just mention one thing about the modularity. So we think of a detector, this detector, from the very beginning, from the day one. There is no first stage, second stage. We think that, so modularity means that it will be in modules, and access there and reconfiguration of these modules will be easy. This is what we mean by modularity, not staging. There is no, it's meaningless staging here, because we need 4π acceptance all the time. Yeah, and about statistics and comparison with, for example, COMPASS. So we have here, we count on very high polarization degree, close to 100%. In COMPASS, they have first target, which is not made of protons, but ammonia, and so small number of protons is, a small number of particles there are polarized, and the polarization is not full, and so on and so forth. So they have other problems there. And with statistics, this was presented for 1 year. We plan to take data more than 1 year first. Second, this is the full compass data. I don't know if they will continue with this type of measurements in the after the long shutdown of the SPS. So, and we win here in systematics. Okay.
I forgot to say something, and when I listened to you just now, I should repeat. You should go for conceptual report, not design report. A conceptual report means you do a lot of thinking, you do a lot of simulations, and this is what I forgot to mention loud. You need to have not 30% people working on your system, if I make the average, but you need to have a team of 20 people plus minus working 150% of their time on this conceptual design. I really think you should have that. It should be their full dedicated small team, which is really doing the job. We did it also with Alice. You have to have this 100% people to get to the point, because then you later you can spread out to technical reports of ABC subprojects. Okay.
Thank you for this comment. Now in the lab we are taking measures towards that. We are creating new division there, and also I hope that our director sitting over there is listening to your to your suggestions. Okay. I fully agree with you that we need a core team of people devoted all the time to this project to get success. Thank you.
Okay, yes, Vladimir.
So it was discussion concerning the statistical precision, but I would say that it's not only the matter of statistics or statistical precision to improve something, but because the only experiment when all the 8 PDF functions could be measured in one experiment. So it presents something new which could not be measured at any other experiment like COMPASS. So it's not only issue of improvement in some Drillian statistics. So it presents something new, not available at any other experiments. It should be mentioned as well.
Okay, so let's take Rumen again, and we will... proceed now with reports on projects approved for completion in 2019 and seeking continuation, and the first one to be presented is the best 3 status and prospect by Alexei Chemchugo.
Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to present you the report on status of GNR group in the BEST3 experiment and our proposal to extend the participation of GNR in this experiment for another 3 years. The BEST3 experiment is located in China, in Beijing, in the Institute of High Energy Physics, just 10 kilometers to the west from the Tiananmen Square, from the center of the city. So. It operates on the BIPC2
I would ask the private conversations, please, outside.
Okay. It operates on the accelerator BIPC2. Which is shown here, this ring, and the BIPC3 is here in this hall. BIPC3 experiment is run by the BIPC3 collaboration. This is international collaboration. It was something new in China at the time when this collaboration was created. It was growing slowly, and now it's already about 500 members from 14 countries, and of course most of members are from Chinese institutes from all China. Our group is taking part in this collaboration since 2005, so for more than a decade. The machine is a double ring electron-positron collider with the energy range from 2 to 4.6 GeV. So there are two rings. here, and best three is placed in one intersection, and another part is for synchrotron radiation. The design luminosity of this accelerator is 10 to the 33. The machine starts operation in 2008 and runs for a decade more or less smoothly without major faults, and reached its design luminosity 2 years ago. Nevertheless, this year an upgrade of the machine is planned, and the upgrade consists of two big parts. First, the idea is to increase the maximum energy to 4.9 GeV, which will provide much more interesting data for study of exotic hadrons. And the second improvement is this one, introducing top-up injection in parallel to the collision operation, which effectively will provide us 20 or 30% more to integrated luminosity, because we can take data at the same time as injecting beams into the ring. Now we should stop, and that's why we lose this time. The detector is typical for collider experiments. It consists of central tracker. Here it's multi-layer drift chamber surrounded by TOF system, fluoroplastic scintillator in the barrel, and MRPCs in end caps. Then we have electromagnetic colorimeter from cesium iodide crystals. And all this is put inside a solenoid magnet, superconducting solenoid. And the yoke of this magnet is used as a muon identification system thanks to RPCs, six layers of RPCs installed between iron in this yoke. The detector operates smoothly, again, for about 10 years. But what we see that central part of drift chamber here, of course, it degrades due to aging. That's why for this year, another upgrade, now the upgrade of the detector, is planned. And the idea is to replace this central part of MDC, so-called inner chamber, by another detector, which is a cylindrical gem detector, exactly the same as used in CLOE2 experiment. So Italian groups which participate in BES3 are already making this device, and it is planned to be installed during summer stop this year. So after 10 years of operation, we collected quite a lot of data. In total, it's about 20 inverse femtobar of integrated luminosity. Of course, a lot of data taken at the resonances of charmonium, J-psi, psi prime, psi double prime. And for these resonances, we have the largest statistics of the world, in the world, of J-psi, psi prime case, for example. It's counted for billions, not millions, of events. And we have two more very interesting samples of data. First one is so-called XYZ sample, roughly above 3.8 GV, so in this area, where we were the first who took a lot of data. And actually, this allowed BES3 to make these famous discoveries of charmonium-like structures, ZC3900, followed by two more families of these charmonium-like states, which were completely unexpected and still looks very interesting for theoreticians. And another data set is so-called air scan. So there are about 130 points in all the range available to BEPC2 operation here. And in each point, we collected quite significant statistics, which will allow to measure precisely error ratio in this area, and thus to decrease errors in calculation for other QED processes where this error ratio is used. Using this data, more than 200 papers have been already published by the collaboration during these years, and a lot of analysis are ongoing, so it's really a huge amount of all sorts of data connected to charmonium, tau physics, and charm mesons. So the research program is driven by the data which we can get and is listed here. It's quite broad. It spans from germanium decays and transitions to search for new exotic states, light pattern spectroscopy, and studies of tau leptons, scan of a ratio, and some other topics, including search for new physics, of course. Actually, I can tell about various results which have been collected by, which have been obtained by BEST3 collaboration during last 2 years, but it's about 60 papers have been published during these 2 years. So I will concentrate mostly on the results and plans of GINR group. So our work here in this table is placed in these areas. So we work on germanium physics and exotic states, and I will provide more details and the report on the current state just in a couple of minutes. We have been working mostly on the first two tasks, and the third task we already did something very simple, so which allowed our student to make a bachelor thesis on it, but we did not get any visible and outstanding result yet, but we hope to do it during next 3 years. And for the first two, I will describe in more detail what we have done. So we concentrated on inclusive prompt germanium production study and measurement of the cross-section of this process, and also measurement of cross-section in the vicinity of JPSI peak. So inclusive prompt JPSI production, here prompt means that we don't consider decays of other germanium stage to JPSI, like KC decay to JPSI and Psi prime decay. And we also don't consider JPSI production accompanied by ISR photon. The goal of this analysis is twofold. First, this is a convenient way to test some predictions of non-relativistic QCD, which is now de facto a standard tool to describe systems with heavy quark inside. So, for example, there is a prediction of NRQCD that this inclusive cross-section, if this inclusive cross-section is large enough, so-called long-distance matrix elements should be non-zero, and this gives us a way to estimate and to test Kolarov-Tech contribution to this inclusive JPSI production. And second motivation for this analysis is the following. Actually, measuring inclusive cross-section and compare it with the sum of exclusive cross-sections, we can cross-check if we overlooked some contribution which we did not see yet. So if we see a difference, it means that we probably should pay more attention to this place where we have this difference and to understand what we what channel could escape from our study before. Unfortunately, for the energy range which we study, we don't have experimental data yet. So the only available data are obtained only by B-factories at 10.5 GeV here. So we simply don't have data with which we can compare except the exclusive channels measured by BEST3 itself. So this is our preliminary result on this cross-section measurement. Here there is a cross-section, and here you can see energy range. So red bars is total error, and blue bars is a statistical error. And here you can see our results. So clearly we see this famous Y4260 area, where we have this peak. And next we can compare it with the sum of known cross-section of exclusive channels measured by BEST3 already. So sum of exclusive channels is red dots, and blue dots is our measurement. Again, here it's cross-section, and here it's energy range. And from this, we see that, in principle, these results are compatible. And we see something interesting in this area, where this, okay, probably it's not extremely significant. But actually, to us, this place is a good reason to look more thoroughly in this area and check what happens here. In fact, concerning this analysis, you can learn more details from the poster which is in the coffee room. And in the poster session, you can ask more details about this analysis to Olga Bakina, who does it. Our plan in this direction for next 3 years is the following. During this year, we are going to finalize this study using the data which we have already, and hopefully to publish it. And starting from 2020, we would like to extend this study to topics which are sitting nearby, namely to measure the inclusive prompt psi prime production, which will be rather similar analysis, but there are some differences which will take time. Also, we are going to repeat this analysis using the new data which will be collected in this energy range from 4.6 to 4.9 GeV, okay, after BPC2 upgrade. And finally, we are going to make inclusive measurement of JPSI polarization in the whole available energy range above 4 GeV. So we hope that polarization also can be telling to see some contribution which could not be seen in other ways. Second channel which we are working on is a study of cross-section near JPSI peak and measurement of phase difference between strong and electromagnetic amplitude in JPSI decays. Again, there is a prediction of quantum chromodynamics on this phase difference. Experimentally, it was shown that it is quite different from this prediction. And recently, these two people invented a new model-independent way how to determine this phase difference using deterioration of line shape in the vicinity of a resonance due to interference with a continuum and interference between these two amplitudes. So we perform this kind of analysis. And again, there are some preliminary results. So first one is a result for this reaction, E plus E minus to omega pi zero, which for us is a reference, because in this reaction we know that strong amplitude is suppressed due to isospin conservation. So this is check of the method, basically. So this is for another channel. Again, we see a fit which looks quite different to the line shape. And you see that fit is sensitive to these points, and these points are known with poor precision. So it would be good to have some points here, and hopefully we have this data, but we did not analyze it yet. So this is something which we are going to do during the next 3 years. And last one is this channel, E to phi eta. And here we have probably most reliable result, but we can improve it if we independently determine the branching ratio of this reaction, because now we should extract it from the fit. Otherwise, we can fix it and to get more precise data. So the research plan is the following: to finalize this analysis during this year, 2019, and during next 3 years to complete this work just using new data and using new measurements. And finally, in 2022, we hope we can study other reactions like that and possibly to measure the phase difference there. Okay, last physics task which we have in front of us is a study of structure at PP bar threshold. There are quite a number of data measured by BS3 and by other experiment which have some interesting structure near threshold, which is usually explained by the hyperon, anti-hyperon bound state. But still, there are a number of data which it is not clear. Is it the same bound state, or it's different bound state, or it's something different at all? And using much larger statistics of JPSI decays, which we are going to collect during next years, we hope we can study this a bit in more detail. And our plan is consists of two parts. First, we are going to search for PP proton-proton, anti-proton-anti-proton state, which was not seen before. And also using this huge amount of Jepsen decays to search for these decays and to study whether there is a PP bar enhancement in these reactions as well. So we consider these tasks are very suitable for a student because we are going to involve new student in our group to work on this. Our main technical contribution to the experiment is software development. So here we are maintaining basically the software which we developed before. We do it in collaboration with our colleagues from the Laboratory of Information Technologies, specifically this last point concerning distributed computing and cloud, which have been integrated to this distributed computing during the last 2 years. And there is a new point in this work, which appeared recently, thanks to Professor Asoskov from Laboratory of Information Technologies. We are going to develop machine learning algorithms to reconstruct tracks in CGM. In principle, we can work without it, but we consider it as a good way to gain an expertise in this hot topic like machine learning, and possibly we will be able to implement it for example, super tau charm factor in future or in some other experiments. Okay, these are list of project authors. Unfortunately, only two of them are working full-time on this, and all other people have to share their time between different projects. And there is a funding during last 3 years, so we had typically $25,000 per year, and we spend it basically to go to China to take shifts, to discuss our results, and to participate in international conference with the results which we have. And we ask to keep this kind of funding for next 3 years until 2022. Besides that, we have some external funding from RFBR and SVC joint project dedicated to this machine learning study, which we just started. Okay, and this is my summary. So BES3, in general, is a successful collaboration, and the experiment during last 10 years collected a lot of interesting data. We participated in since the very beginning there, and already did a visible contribution to the experiment, and we asked to prolong our participation in this experiment for another 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This project was reviewed by two of our referees, Peter Zevada. You start first.
Okay, I will read only parts of my report.
Microphone, Peter.
I will present only parts of my report. I will skip the information which we had in the presentation. I consider important that the Dubna team participates in the experiment from its very beginning as one of the leading software developers in the collaboration. Software development represents the main technical contribution of the Dubna group to the experiment. Obtained experience, it is also important, can be potentially used, applied for proposed supercharm tau factories in Novosibirsk. Nevertheless, for effective participation in the collaboration, it is very important to take an active part in the analysis of the data. In the last 2 years, the group focused on the study of problems related to on production of JPSi particles, and this topic is substantially expanded in the plans for the next years. The list of intended topics is wider than before, however, I believe reasonable. Nevertheless, my impression is that the activity in the data analysis should increase with the aim to make a contribution of Dubna Group in the common publications more clear. Experiment really offers very interesting physics, and this potential should be effectively utilized. At the same time, the structure of the group could be better balanced. Group should involve more young PhD students and fewer researchers with a small full-time equivalent participation. However, the team leaders realize this weakness of the project, so one can expect that they will try to better optimize the structure of the team. Required financial support is not high, but for the time being is, I consider, adequate. To conclude, in view of the above arguments, I'm sure there is no doubt that the team should continue participation in the BESS experiment and obtain necessary required financing. That's okay. All. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The project was also reviewed by Joachim Nich, that could not come this time. He wrote a very positive report, and I will mention a few sentences of his report. Since 2005, GINR is part of the BESS 3 collaboration and has provided many very significant contributions to the experiments. During the last 2 years, the GINR group worked on obtaining interesting results in several physics topics that demonstrate the important role of the GINR group in BESS 3. Another important aspect which supports the participation of GINR in this project is the realistic possibility for a supercharm tau factory in Novosibirsk, which is on the list of mega science projects in Russia. The successful engagement of BESS 3 will ideally position GINR for future research at the supercharm tau factory. The resources required for the continuation of BESS 3 are reasonable. I want to point out that this project is certainly a very interesting topic for PhD students. I encourage the group to strengthen their efforts to attract young scientists, and this is along also the lines of what Peter said a minute ago. In summary, I consider this project of high relevance for GINR, and I strongly support the continuation of this project. Are there any other comments? Yes, Peter.
A short comment. We all get these low numbers, and it was always asked that they should include salaries, but probably this is from a little bit secret. But if I look at such a group, I cannot estimate less than 100,000 as cost for China to participate. I mean, it's 25K is for the travel, perhaps not even that enough. So my feeling is we get a little bit Potemkin's village with respect to the cost values.
Peter?
I have a question concerning the new data that you plan to collect. As far as I understand, this is needed only for the third topic, that is the proton-antiproton threshold structures. And for the rest, you already have all the data. Is it correct?
Not really, because for the first topic, we also need new data, which will appear after increasing the energy of BPC2 up to 4.9 GeV. So we have some plans for this region between 4.6 and 4.9. So, okay. And for the second topic, yes, we have all data at hand, but the analysis is quite complicated because this fit is not easy thing.
But then for the third topic, from 6 to 10 billion events, do you really think this will change anything in your result?
Actually, we did not try it even with 6 billion.
Okay.
So this is something which we would like to do. Because, as you mentioned, B3 has a lot of capabilities for PhD students because we have lots of physics tasks. And currently, we have more physics tasks than people, despite we have 500 members in the collaboration. So there are some tasks which are never touched. And concerning the funding, okay, this number may look small, but in principle, it's enough to cover about 2 months, 2 main months of stay in China. And this is our basic expenditure. And according to our experience during the last 10 years, it's enough to cover shifts, it's enough to participate in collaboration meetings, and in principle, we have enough money to participate in 2 or 3 conferences on this topic, so it's okay.
Any other comment, question? Okay, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
I think in view of the time, we will break for lunch now on the last presentation. Sorry. Yeah, we will start the afternoon session with your presentation. So we break now for lunch and be back here at 2 p.m. Eh?